The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Our Today FM head of digital, Alison Healy, is with us, and Jennifer Gannon to talk television. But before we talk to them, let's hear the Derry girls being excited about attending an outdoor pursuits weekend as part of a peace initiative.
For the love of God, don't forget your waterproof trousers. Nearly bloody bankrupted us. Do the Protestants have to bring waterproof trousers? Or will the Catholics be expected to do all the dirty work?
Not dirty work, it's an outdoor pursuits weekend.
Thought you said you were building bridges.
Not real bridges, Mummy. Metaphorical bridges.
Then why can't you wear metaphorical trousers? Lenny, your crowd be going, love.
My crowd?
Or can you not get Protestant lesbians?
No, I think you can get them, all right. It's just...
I heard that Katie Lang on the radio yesterday. Christ, but she's got some set of pipes on her. You're very talented people.
Thank you.
Oh, actually, before we talk, let's get another clip. This is the Gerry Adams clip.
Because of government restrictions, we cannot broadcast the voice of Mr. Adams. His words are spoken by an actor.
Well, with respect, and I mean, if you're watching...
I will never understand the point of that.
I'll never understand the point of view.
Grandson.
I'll go.
And they're both agreed about the need to see an end to all acts of violence. I want to see that.
It's because his natural voice is actually very seductive. Apparently, he sounds like a West Belfast blonde. As far as the English are concerned, a voice like that, well, it's dangerous.
Just so I'm clear, are you saying that the British government dubbed the voice of Gerry Adams because it's too sexy?
It's like a fine whiskey. And I have that in good authority, boy.
Okay.
Can I throw out the question to you to see, Alison Healy and Jennifer Gannon, was Series 2 of Derry Girls as good as Series 1?
I think there were strong episodes, definitely. Last night was one of them. It was really poignant, and I think it was all building up to that moment. Because
which, don't give it away for those who haven't seen it yet, like myself, who wants to watch it tonight when I go home and record it.
It's interesting the way, it's the backdrop of obviously the Troubles, but it doesn't take centre stage every time because, you know, teenagers that lived through that time, it wasn't, you know, centre stage like the way the news was. It was in the background. It was like an eternal humming noise in the background, basically. And I think that's what's really relatable and truthful about Lisa McGee, her writing, that, you know, it the focus is on the family rather than the situation.
Okay, but has it been as funny in the second series as it was in the first series?
It's been mixed, I think, but I do think it's establishing characters now, so.
I laughed along with it as much as I did the first time. I think just the humour oozes out of the screen and out of the characters that she's created. It's just such a fascinating time. I can't remember anything like it before, especially not delivered in the way it's been delivered. And I'm not alone. There was a 400,000 increase in the number of people who watch season two versus season one opening episodes. And they're expecting the numbers for the finales to be even bigger as well. So it's one of those shows that gets you in the heart. And for me, just the music, there's a playlist that's gone up on Spotify now and it has thousands and thousands of followers, all 91 epic banging tunes from that programme. And it's almost like a character itself, the music in that show.
Yeah, the music, I love the music. The soundtrack is so well chosen,
isn't it? And it's just, it fills you with warmth. And yeah, like Jen said, last night's episode, without saying anything,
careful, because we have you on warning about spoiler alerts, Alison.
Okay, well, there was a final episode of Derry Girls, can I say that?
You can say that. And for series two,
and can I say it was good?
But
you,
I think it's really poignant and really pressing because we're in a time of political yeah, uncertainty, and the way that it's written, like, we're almost faced with the same kind of conundrums as it was back then, and you're seeing how cyclical history really is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also really clever in the writing, how it deals with Northern Ireland's place in history. And it's especially surprising how successful it's been in the UK, because, you know, in a way, because of Brexit, it's like a welcome shout of recognition in a country that seems to have all but forgotten about the existence of Northern Ireland, which I think is why it's so important.
Okay, well, the series three is on the way. I wonder, will it ever get voted into one of the greatest sitcoms of all time? The Radio Times in Britain has done a poll of, I think it's comedy experts, isn't it? Mm. To name, this isn't the public, this is people involved in. And I'm going to run down from 10 downwards. Number 10, Dinner Ladies.
Yeah, Victoria Wood. It's okay. It's not. I wouldn't have said the 10th or like in the pantheon of comedies.
Number 9, Ab Fab. Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, but the thing about it is
it
diminishing.
Some of it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then it went lost its way a bit. Number 8, The Royal Family.
I think that should have been higher. We're both in agreement there.
Excellent programme. Absolutely excellent. You're both too young to remember Porridge, aren't you?
Yeah, but like, I mean, no, because if the BBC loved to repeat things a million times, it's like, so you felt like you were living in the 70s with Fletch for a long time because it was still on.
Okay, well, that's number 7, Porridge. Number 6, Only Fools and Horses.
Oh, it would have been in my top 3.
But I think the thing about it is it outstayed its welcome and it kind of ruined its own legacy with those terrible episodes that went on and on for too long.
You forgive them that because of what came before it.
I don't know. I just think you need to know when to bow out, and it didn't. It just kept on going.
Number 5, Dad's Army.
Oh, God, stop. Please stop. I think England romanticises Dad's Army more than the Second World War at this stage. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's very Brexity to me right now. I can't think of it at all.
Number 4, Blackadder.
I would have put it way
also
down the
Brexity.
List.
Way down the list?
Yeah.
You think that's up way too high?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's no thick of it there.
That's true.
That's thick ridiculous. Yeah, there's no the thick of it. There's no Nighty Night. Like, I don't know.
Why? That's number 4, Matt. Like, no, I think this is wrong.
Yeah. Okay, and there's no The Day Today. But at number 3, that's a little bit from I'm Alan Partridge.
Thank you for coming.
Can I offer you my deep, deep despair on this very bad day?
Thank you.
I mean, how are you coping?
Oh, well, terrible, really. We booked to go on holiday next week.
Oh, bugger!
You'd have been 41 next month.
All those people who go around saying life begins at 40. they're notable by their absence. The nerve. Are you close?
He was my husband.
Yes, of course. What was he doing on the bloody roof?
He was getting the aerial done because we were moving.
Yeah, I know, I was being rhetorical. did he actually bring the aerial down with him?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Comforting to know that the last thing he did was an act of kindness.
Thank you for the traffic clock.
Oh, you got it?
Yes.
Well, Littlewoods are very quick, aren't they?
They are.
Anyway, commiserations. Hang on in there, I'm sure you'll bounce back. If there's anything I can do, just ask. And apart from heavy lifting, got a bit of a bad back.
I should have prefaced that by saying that was Alan at a funeral offering his sympathies to the widow, but I'm sure you guessed that by now. At number 2, let's hear a clip from Father Ted.
Hello there, Father.
Hello, Colm. Out and about?
I am. Same as yourself.
Good, good.
I hear you're a racist now, Father.
What?
How did you get interested in that type of thing?
Who said I'm a racist?
Everyone's saying it, Father. Should we all be racist now? What's the official line the church is taking on this?
Oh, no.
Only the farm takes up most of the day, and at night I'd just like a cup of tea. I might be able to devote myself full time to the old racism.
Good for you, Father.
What? Oh, Mrs. Carberry.
Good for you, Father. Well, someone had the guts to stand up to them at last. Coming over here, taking our jobs and our women, and acting like they own a second place. Well done, Father. Good for you. Good for you. I'd like to beg and... begging Greeks.
It isn't the Greeks, it's the Chinese he's after.
I am not after the Chinese.
I don't care who he gets as long as I can have a go at the Greeks. They invented gayness.
Look, we are not having a go at anybody. I am not a racist, all right? God.
Fucking Greeks.
How's Mary?
She's fine. She got that job after.
Great.
Oh, that is fantastic. We're all in tears laughing at
magic
that there.
From Dermot Morgan.
Late Dermot Morgan. And Ard Lohanlon and the late Frank Kelly stuff. And it's amazing, I watched my own children who weren't even born by the time Father Ted finished. Mm. And they just love it. It just hits all age groups.
I think it's a broad comedy that's really accessible. It's almost like a setup like the Three Stooges, but then it has this injection of like surrealism that includes all these idiosyncrasies that are so easily identifiable to Irish people.
And timeless as well. Timeless. Like it's like it's in its own little time capsule, and it's comfort viewing at its finest. It definitely belongs where it is on the list.
But then the number one is this.
Now listen to me. I booked a room with a bath. When I book a room with a bath, I expect to get a bath. You've got a bath.
I'm not paying £7.20 per night plus VAT for a room without
a bath. Where is your bath?
You call that a bath? It's not big enough to drown a mouse. It's disgraceful.
I wish you were a mouse, aren't you?
And another thing. I asked for a room with a view.
Deaf, mad, and blind. This is the view as far as I can remember, madam. Yes, yes, this is it.
When I pay for a view, I expect something more interesting than that.
That is Torquay, madam.
But it's not good enough.
Well, may I ask what you were expecting to see out of a Torquay hotel bedroom window? Sydney Opera House, perhaps? The hanging gardens of Babylon? Herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically?
I expect to be able to see the sea.
You can see the sea. It's over there between the land and the sky.
I need a telescope to see that.
Well, may I suggest that you consider moving to a hotel closer to the sea? Or preferably in it.
The brilliant child. He's actually Mark Maron when he was in earlier, and I was telling him one of the podcasts that I really enjoyed listening to him on was with John Cleese. He got John Cleese in a really good mood, which isn't necessarily always the case now. And it was a brilliant interview with John Cleese, who was making about only 12 episodes of Fawlty Towers. And there was a 4-year gap between the first series and the second series. And they took ages writing it. And it showed.
But also, the popularity wasn't there for the first season, really, like, until they started showing repeats within that 4-year gap. And then when it came back, everybody was just delighted. And I think that's the key to it because, you know, it feels perfect because the episodes are so well constructed. Like, they really took their time writing it. They're, you know, it's high farce, it's slapstick, it's everything in between. And it's kind of like the Godfather of sitcoms. Like, when you think about its influence, in terms of influence, it's everything from Frasier to, you know, right up to The Office. And I think that brevity is a plus.
Talking of comedies, I haven't seen any of Fleabag. Is it worth watching?
It's the best. It's actually nothing short of genius.
It's perfect.
Why?
You know, the greatest comedy in modern times, I'm going to say. I don't care.
Because I think on paper it just looks like a 30-something-year-old woman in London looking for love, but it's just, it's so much more than that. It's just quick-witted, laugh-out-loud funny, then heartbreakingly sad. Brilliantly acted. Phoebe Waller-Bridge deserves a shout-out for probably one of the best TV shows I've tuned into. I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting to be as wrapped into it as I was.
The first season, I think it was... it was based on a play that she'd written, and it was very self-contained, and it had this great sense of urgency that was pulling you towards this really painful conclusion. And then the second season, which she didn't even expect to write herself because she didn't realise it was going to become such a success, and then wrote it. You know, it's not afraid to go into poking around in places like about anxiety and discomfort and exploring like issues about female sexuality, but it's done in this really giddy, chaotic way. Like, and I think, you know, she was struggling to cope in the first season. Her life was in real despair, and in the second season she's trying hard to get herself together, and then the unexpected happens, and it's the inconvenience of love happens in her life. And
so you recommend that?
It was billed as Fleabag versus God, and not only was this like a philosophic comment, it was actually, she answered our prayers and she gave us Andrew Scott as a hot Catholic priest.
So hot.
Okay, very quickly, because we are very late. Very quickly, your pick of the week. Jennifer, yours first.
Another Phoebe Waller-Bridge production, but actually she's not doing the right in this season. It's Killing Eve, season 2. It's back on RT tonight at 9:30. And this is a bit of a coup because RT are getting it way before BBC. BBC aren't getting it until June. So they're following suit from BBC America. And it's going to be, you know, the severely injured Villanelle, the most stylish psychopath on TV, is back.
Okay, and your pick of the week is a little known thing called...
Yeah, I'm a basic hun with my pick of the week, but it's the return of Game of Thrones. Matt, praise the Lord, the wait is over. It's returning to our screens this Sunday night, early Monday morning. I will be awake at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, I have a 16-year-old daughter who says the same. Yes.
Like, I'm pretty devastated. This is the last time that we'll get to be geared up for a season premiere of Game of Thrones, so I'm going to milk every little moment right up to it, and for the next 6 weeks in a row, you won't be able to stand the sight of me.
Alison Healy, of course we will. And Jennifer Gannon, thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.